This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's match day in the Premier League as Arsenal take on Luton Town with a chance to go back to the top of the table. We've got team news, Mikel Arteta's press conference and some transfer news to boot too. This is the Arsenal News Show. Hello and welcome to the Gunner Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal News Show, joining you every single morning at 8 a.m. UK time. Thank you as always for joining me and making this a part of your morning routines. It is incredibly appreciated. I hope you've had a good week. It's Wednesday and not only is it the middle of the week, but it means, of course, it is match day, as I've mentioned. Arsenal taking on Luton. Rob Edwards taking on Arsenal for the second time this season. And if it's anything as dramatic as the first one, I think we may end up very much needing some help come the 90th minute. But hopefully it's going to be a smooth, simple process to 3 points and a return perhaps to the goal-scoring form that we've seen against some of the other teams at the bottom of the Premier League table. But with the likes of Nottingham Forest winning yesterday, there is extra pressure on Luton Town to get a result. And they'll be fighting tooth and nail for every single point between now and the end of the season. Good morning to those joining us live in the chat box. Thank you so much, as always, for doing so. Peter, Glenn, Vivian, Louis, Answer, Jean, Pikahu, Kaiser, Shari, AB. We've got Amira and Kaiser and Shiva, Matt G and Stevie and Ian. We've got Maximius, Input, Mike, Josh, Tom, Thomas, Martin, Barry T, NSW, Mr. Ree, Carl, Roy, Rob, Amesy, and plenty more of you guys and girls as well. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. Do drop a like on the video. Help us to 1K every single day is our daily challenge that we try and reach. And I hope that you'll join me in pressing that like button. Yes, even I can do it, but often choose not to, because that would be incredibly arrogant of myself. Imagine liking your own video. Should you do that? Do you think I should be doing that? I suppose it's a debate that we could have. Should you like your own stuff? Is it something that's self-obsessive, or is it, you know, just loving yourself? People say loving yourself can be a good thing, and appreciating yourself for your own faults. Maybe I should go back and like that video that was awful that I did, that presenting. I think it was last Friday, where I literally had like a meltdown on the show. Maybe I should go and do that and build up some more self-confidence if I only need it anymore. Good morning, though. Let's jump into today's stories, though, shall we? And jump into a Premier League roundup. We kick off with yesterday's Premier League results. Newcastle drawing 1-1 with Everton. We'll come back to that one. Nottingham Forest, though, winning 3-1 against Fulham. Very impressive result considering the form that Fulham have been on. That said, it does seem like Fulham are a side that are much better at home. So I'm quite glad that I think they host Liverpool between now and the end of the season. Away from home, they're not too good unless you're playing Manchester United, of course. Bournemouth winning another important game for them, 1-0 against Crystal Palace, to keep Palace still very much within that bracket of, I think still, you could argue, they're in the battle, the scrap. They're sitting on 30 points. They're 8 points clear. You think they'd be safe, but you never know. Things can change very quickly. Burnley drew. They're getting a good point at home against Wolves. It means that they're currently 6 points from safety. Luton Town, of course, play tonight against Arsenal, but they're 3 points from safety. And West Ham drawing against Spurs. Spurs fans saying that if they'd have beaten West Ham, they would have been 6 points behind the greatest Arsenal team from all time. I saw a tweet going around yesterday. But they couldn't beat West Ham. So even though they've had a game more played than Arsenal, they're still very much in 8 point territory, which could become 11 points come the end of today. But I did say I'd come back to that Newcastle Everton game, because despite the fact that Newcastle didn't get the result they wanted, and it was a good point in the end for Everton, helping them stay somewhat clear. I mean, just 4 points clear of the relegation zone, despite their deductions that they, of course, suffered this season, along with Spurs. But Newcastle's goal scorer in the first instance is our first transfer line of the day. Alexander Isak scoring yet again. Another fantastic piece of technical skill and finishing combined to make a perfect goal for the Swedish forward. And there's been links with Ramsdale and Newcastle as well, which has kind of generated talk that is there potential for a swap between Isak and Ramsdale. I think some money would have to go in the direction of Newcastle from Arsenal involved in the deal to justify that swap. But is there potential for that interest that Newcastle supposedly have in Aaron Ramsdale to materialise into something of a player plus cash deal for Isak, who is quickly emerging, I think, as a lot of people's favourites? Yes, the injuries are still there and still present in the conversation about Alexander Isak, but you can't ignore the man's form. It's pretty darn incredible right now, and he's ending the season very strongly. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens. The final transfer story to talk about before we go into more Luton stuff is one that makes my heart cry, to put it lightly. And that is Xavi Simmons, who is my dream winger signing of the summer, is ever so increasingly more likely, it seems, to stay with PSG. There are suggestions that Luis Enrique is very much keen on keeping Xavi Simmons as the key replacement for Kylian Mbappe. And you can hardly blame the man. He's having an excellent season at RB Leipzig on loan from PSG, and he will return to fill some of the void left by the French talisman. And it kind of does throw, I guess, any hopes of the likes of Arsenal or anyone else getting their hands on Xavi Simmons in the summer, unless they put up quite an incredible transfer fee, which, again, I don't necessarily see happening. Never say never, but it just doesn't seem that this is going to be a feasible deal for anybody, let alone just Arsenal, to do. Now, moving towards, as I said and promised, the game against Luton tonight, Mikel Arteta has effectively a whole squad to choose from. Only Jurrien Timber, according to good friend of the show, James Green, who was reporting for Sky at London, at the Sober Realty Training Centre yesterday. Only Jurrien Timber was not at the ground and was not training for the game. And so for that reason, I think there's something to be said about the rotation that Mikel Arteta could enjoy in the game against Luton. We could see some switches to the lineup, I guess, and some players playing that haven't been given too many starts this season. I, for one, have liked to have seen, I think, Tomiyasu and Zinchenko probably come in for Gabriel and Kivior, because I think that would be a smart move for the club. But also Thomas Partey coming in to start this game, get some much-needed minutes, and Gabriel Martinelli, of course, and Saka both involved. And moving to Mikel Arteta's press conference, which was obviously a big point of discussion yesterday, we always like to talk through and cover some of the key points from these presses. He says on Saka, yeah, he's fine. Obviously, we haven't trained, we've recovered and have had a short live session today, prepare for the game, and we'll see whether he's in the best condition to start or not. I think it's a chance to rest him. I don't really see the point in starting Saka in a game where we know we've got Brighton away, where he's going to have to start because it's a tough fixture. You've got Bayern, which is going to have to start him. You've got Villa then, you're going to have to start him. You then got Bayern again, you're going to have to start him. And then after that, it's... who's after Bayern? Is it Chelsea? Wolves, and then Chelsea, of which you could probably have to start him in those games as well. You're probably going to have to start Saka in every single game to the end of the season, maybe other than Bournemouth at home. I think this is the game that if you can rest a player, you've got to rest a player. There are some players like Rice, Ødegaard, that I don't think necessarily need that rest, but I do think that Saka is one of them. And I think I would not have him in my starting lineup tonight. That said, as Amy Z says in the chat box, can't see many changes. Arteta's not the type to rotate. He's not the type to do that. And Jabu says, this is Mikel. And exactly, it's just I don't necessarily see Arteta making too many changes. He was asked about your rotation in his press conference, and he's asking about whether there's an opportunity to give Saka time to recover. And he says, we're just thinking about Luton and preparing for the game in the best possible way and earning the right to beat them. And he was asked also about Martinelli, to which he said he is available because he was available to play against a really tough opponent 3 days ago. Again, we'll train today and see the state of every player and make the decisions tomorrow. About the squad, though, being available, he said, yeah, we have discussed that and pushing each other and being available to contribute in any way to help us win the game, perform consistently at the level that we need to. So we're going to need everybody. And about keeping kind of players motivated, because it's hard to do that, isn't it? If you've got a squad of 25, you know, and it's more of a squad of kind of 20 with some youth players thrown in as well. But when you've got that many players and you know the starting 11 is the best of them, then you've got 2-3 players that can probably switch out for, I guess, kind of one of the other starters. I suppose you could bring in Trossard if you wanted. You could bring in Partey and Jorginho, good options. Zinchenko is up there. Tomiyasu is up there, I think, as well. You could argue Ramsdale to some degree, I suppose, but that's not going to happen at goalkeeper. And then Gabby Jesus, too, is another option. He says that's certainly something really important about keeping players motivated. They really need to feel it. And the best way is to feel is to play the minutes. And when they don't have the capacity to show what they can do, they have to show it in training. We have to be close to them, then we have to convince them to keep doing it and earn the right to play. And that must be hard. And I think sometimes you have to find that balance. You know, you have to find the balance of giving players minutes and, to some extent, also knowing that you can't always give everybody minutes because you need to play your best players and you need to be able to give yourself the best opportunity to win every single game. And until we've got a team that is ultimately full of a bench that could equally a start as much as those that are starting, there's always going to be players that are left out. There's always going to be players that are going to feel disappointed and to some degree demotivated because they know they're not going to get as many minutes as they would hope to. But maybe that'll change in the summer when we have a little bit more of an overhaul of some of those players and the positions that they could potentially fill in the squad. I did feel as though watching the press conference, and I spoke to James afterwards, who was asking the questions for Sky in there, that Arteta definitely felt quite relaxed, upbeat. I felt like the pressure really was as low as it has ever been for Arteta in a press conference. And I don't know if that game against City help to take away some of that pressure just because they know now, they know what the job is. You know, it's, you've not got necessarily a team coming up like a Liverpool or a City where the pressure is so intense and the odds are in some way stacked against you that you're fighting against it. It feels like now the emphasis is on Arsenal, of course, in every game they play, to be the team that dominates, to do the job that we know that we're very good at. And I got the sense from Arteta that I just feel the sense of Arteta that he kind of feels that the pressure is somewhat off a little bit. It's never going to be completely off and there's always an expectation. But I really hope to see you when I go to the Emirates tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. I really hope I see an Arsenal that have freedom. And I think that maybe that we will see that. And I think, yeah, Amberley Mays is a really good point in the chat here. It simplified his job and taking a weight off his shoulders, not having these games against City or Liverpool to come. It's a very simple reality, win the next game. And what's simpler about that is that Arsenal can win the next game every single time they have it. I believe we can beat Luton. I can believe we can beat Villa. We can beat Brighton. We can beat Wolves. We can beat Bournemouth. We can beat Chelsea, United, Spurs, Everton. You know, I believe we can beat Bayern Munich. There's a belief that we can, and arguably in some cases, maybe other than Bayern, but in all of those, should win these games. And I know that people don't like me using the word should, but Arsenal are the favourites going into every single one of their remaining league games now. That's the reality. And I think in some ways that lifts the pressure. It might add it in the perception if you look at it a different way, but I think it removes it. I think it gives Arsenal that emphasis to be the dominant side. It gives Arsenal to play their game. It gives Arsenal the encouragement that other teams see them as the superior. And I think that is going to be very interesting to look at. Right, let's go to part two and your questions then right after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
All righty then. Let's jump into the chat box, shall we? And we'll see if we can tackle some of your questions. And we'll start with Anna Simos, who says Tottenham will have a 15-day rest before our game. We will have three extra games in that time. And one is an away trip to Bayern Munich. And another is a London derby with Chelsea. Yes, it's true. Now, you can look at this two ways. You can look at this in a form of, well, damn, they're going to be really well rested. And we're going to have maybe some leggy legs. I don't know what other things could be leggy. But we're going to be maybe perhaps a little bit more tired and they're going to be able to impose their energy onto us. But you could also say, and I use this often in pre-season when we play against like MLS sides that have been playing, kind of already started their season, and then they break away from the MLS to play Premier League sides and they look a little bit more sharper and fresh. You could argue that after 15 days off, are they going to be as sharp? Are they going to have the momentum that we might have going into this game if we can, especially if we can progress, you know, and win against Chelsea, win against Wolves, can be in the Champions League semi-finals. I think I'd rather the momentum. I think this Arsenal team feeds off momentum. And so in some ways, I do think that that is something to be talking about. TJR says, oh, Tom's about to break out the rust versus rest argument. I think it's an important point. I think it is an important one. We talk about rest is important, but I also think that it can be something to look at as a positive, playing games quite close to one another. Trevor says, Tom's going on a scouting trip to Italy. Well, I never. I wish it was for that reason in some ways, but actually I'm quite glad it's just for some rest and relaxation. But that doesn't mean that there won't be an 8 a.m. show from Italy. It'll be 9 a.m., I think, for me. I think they're an hour ahead. But you can be sure that we'll still have an 8 a.m. show every single morning, because I'm mental. and that is what I will promise you that I will attempt to achieve. Sam says, Tom, are you okay? I don't know if it's just the camera. There's a lot of yellow in your eyes. Well, am I jaundiced? Is that it? No, they're definitely white on this camera. Maybe the white balance is off. I can make it even worse if I use this. Ooh. but I can tell you that they're fine, mate. I'm definitely not jaundiced, Sam, but thank you for your concern. I do appreciate that. ATA says, who do you feel is going to be that player in the running? Surely someone will have to seriously step up to get us over the line. I think Declan Rice is always going to be the difference maker for us. You know, I think he's always going to be that player that takes us to new heights and has taken us to a new height this season. And I think I saw a comment from Clive earlier in the chat box saying that actually he'd rest Rice today against Luton. I mean, you could go with Partey, Odegaard, and then one of Vieira and Smith Rowe potentially, and then rest Rice. Sometimes you've got to let Rice rest give it the best chance to be as good as it can be. But maybe that's the option. Maybe Rice. I just feel like Rice has got the engine to go forever. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm being naive with that. But I think that there's arguably a point that Rice could just keep playing. He just seems like one of those players that just can play that many games a season. Bulgarian Gunadrago says, morning, TC. Wouldn't Kudus be a smart and obvious addition in the summer, considering his quality and versatility across our attacking roles? Whilst it would be, and I really would love to see Mohamed Kudus come to Arsenal, the idea that West Ham would be selling him for anything other than a stupidly large fee, I just cannot see that one happen at all. Daniel says, I guarantee you the team will be Raya, White, Saliba, Gabriel, Kivior, Rice, Jorginho, Odegaard, Saka, Havertz, Martinelli. I look forward to seeing whether it is, Daniel, and if it is, that will create quite the talking point. quite the talking point indeed will be that if Arsenal make no changes from the game against Manchester City. John says, how many games does a player have to participate to get a medal? Five. I'm pretty sure it's five. I think you need to have five Premier League appearances to get a medal. But I love that your mind's going there, John. John's already got the medal around his neck at this point. You know, he's very happy and he's looking forward to getting those five sub-appearances between now and the end of the season. Ian says, Ødegaard, Rice may slash should get reduced minutes. We have to manage the rotation for us to be fresh, playing our type of football, pressing, hounding opposition out of possession as well. And yeah, they should. I think there's something to be said about they can both start the game, but maybe we think about if we're winning by two or three goals at halftime or 60 minutes in, bring them off and manage the minutes more effectively so you get them as much time off ahead of the weekend as possible. Jabby reckons that Havertz will be rested as well. There's certainly scope for that to happen. Havertz is on seven yellow cards, and if he was to be booked in the next three games, which is, you know, quite the stretch, of course, but if he was to get booked in the next three games, he would miss two games through suspension. Whereas Rodri, for instance, if he gets booked in two of the next three games, would also have a two-match suspension. Maximus says, hey, Tom, what's the update on Freedom Arnhem? I'm not aware of one at the moment. Not aware of an update yet. I'll do a quick search just to check, but certainly nothing's come up on my timeline yet. There's apparently been a positive update, it says here. She's conscious, or she was. This is really in the wake of the game, this report 2 days ago from Simon Collins. It says she was conscious and in a stable condition after she collapsed during the Women's League Cup final with Chelsea. She went down off the ball towards the end of the normal time in the game against Chelsea at Molineux. But she will continue to be monitored closely by our medical team, and we're all with you, Frieda. So that was a positive update. Hopefully she's okay. But we haven't necessarily got kind of anything other than the fact that she's been in a stable condition over the last couple of days. But prayers are certainly with her, and hopefully everything turns out okay. Chris says, hi, Tom. Do you think the key to winning tonight is smothering Barkley? He seems to be their most influential player. He was very good in the game which we played against them, you know, earlier this season. So definitely if you can scupper him. What I would say is that Luton have got a bit of an injury crisis, I believe, at the moment. Just having a quick look at the team news for Luton. They're missing, I think, quite a few players. Luton Town, let me see if I can find it. Luton Town is unsure whether Alfie Doughty, Reece Burke or Tahith Chong will be fit to play. I think they have a further 10 players that are definitely ruled out, it says here. I think Ogbene is one of those as well. There's quite a few in terms of players being missing. Yeah, let me have a quick look. The Luton website, Threadbare Squad, is the headline on the Luton website here. Rob Edwards says, we're likely to have 11, 12 or 13 players out. He smiled, going in through gritted teeth. We'll probably have four teenagers on the bench, maybe more. This is the biggest challenge we've ever had. Of course, we had the incidents with Locks, but in terms of facing the best teams in the world in this period of injuries, it is. But we're competing and it's a challenge. It'll be a big challenge and Saturday will be as well. We know it is a massive task. We're aware of the size of it. Arsenal are in great form. We're going to have to defend really well. But depleted as we are, it is hard for us to be at our best when we're missing so many players. Again, I'd love to have a full list of those players that are missing, but there's potential that the likes of Doughty could be out. Ogbene, I think, is out. Adebayo? I know he'd had an injury recently as well. So, yeah, they could be missing quite a few. Lokonga, of course, is not eligible to play tonight, but I don't think he's also carrying a bit of an injury as well. So I'm not sure even if he could play, he would have played. But they're missing quite a few. It's advantage Arsenal in a big, big way, and Arsenal should be looking to win quite comfortably. And I touch wood, obviously, but that's the reality. Boxed by a Biscuit says, what are your chances of winning the Champions League this season? I think Arsenal are probably third favourites. Are they not behind Real Madrid and Manchester City, I would say? So decent, probably the best chances we've had in a very long time of winning the Champions League. Peter says, Tom, if we go to win the Champions League, how many other players other than Rice have won a European competition after moving clubs back to back? Jorginho won, and Havertz obviously won with Chelsea and then have moved to Arsenal. So you could argue those two would as well. But other than that, I'm not sure. When Martin Odegaard left Real Madrid, were they European champions at that point, potentially? So maybe Odegaard would then win it with his next club after having... I know that he wasn't actually with the squad at that point, but I know you know what I'm saying. He's still a Real Madrid player, of course, where we signed him from. So maybe that's one. I guess that I'm trying to think of any others off the top of my head. Jesus obviously wasn't, Zinchenko wasn't, Tomiyasu certainly wasn't. You know, I think that's probably about it. Ajmel says, Tom, do you have a player in our squad who wants to see how they perform when given consecutive starts and appearances? I guess Vieira is the one I'm most curious of. Partey as well, but we kind of know what you get from Partey. But in particular, Vieira is a player I have so many curiosities about what he can actually achieve in this team. He's probably the one that I look at with the most intrigue. I'd like to see him get some minutes. I'd like to see him get some time. He could start tonight. You know, you never know. He could be coming in for Saka if they decide to rest Saka. He could come in for Declan Rice at left eight and potentially play there as well. So I think there's scope for Vieira in this squad to play, but Willie is another big question. Diallo says, why are some of our fan base so dismissive of Jesus and Zinny lately? It's frankly jarring me. Jesus obviously isn't in our starting front three at the moment. It's Martinelli, Saka, Havertz. So maybe that's perhaps why. But I thought he had a decent game against City, but just lacks that finishing touch on the day. And then Zinchenko, I think Zinchenko, the problem with Zinchenko is that he can be a little bit risky on the ball and has given away the ball on a number of occasions for us. And so that has led to supporters having some doubts about his competitiveness in games, and whether or not a player like Tomiyasu or Kivior would be safer. I think that's why Zinchenko's drawn something of an increase in scrutiny over the last few weeks or so. Emeka says, any time we play a team that we should beat early on paper, there is a negative surprise. Let's hope for a best and treat our opponents with respect, and I pray that we don't rest players with regret. I mean, Arsenal this season have been very good at beating most of the teams that you'd be expecting them to beat. And this year in particular, you know, 6 past West Ham, 6 past Sheffield United, the amount of goals that we've scored in other games as well so far during 2024 has taken us to have that goal difference that is so superior to anybody else in the league at the moment. 4 goals against Newcastle, 5 goals against Burnley, 3 goals against Liverpool, 5 goals against Palace, you know. So there is absolutely scope for us to score plenty tonight as well. And John says, are you going? I am indeed, mate. I'm looking forward to being at the Emirates. It's the first time that I would have been at a game since Porto, which I know is only 2 games ago, but it feels such a long time. That Porto game was on the 12th of March, and now we're on the 3rd of Feb. It's nearly been a month since I've been to one of the games. So I am looking forward to getting back to the Emirates and hopefully securing a victory. Ben says, Tom, are you a FIFA or a Football Manager man? Was a FIFA man, now giving it up because it's a terrible, terrible football game. Awful. I'm never going to get any awards from EA or any sponsorship from them, but FIFA is a waste of life, is what I would describe it as. It is an infuriating, poorly built, gambling-inducing terrible, terrible game. I've never really played Football Manager, so I can't comment on it. But as soon as you realise, and it is a moment of realisation, as soon as you realise the pointlessness of FIFA, you'll never play it again. And by that, what I mean is that there is the only reason to play FIFA is if you just like a football game. There's nothing in regards to kind of progression. There's nothing in regards to reward. People talk about the packs, but you can just buy packs with own money, so it's pointless. This is a real rant I'm going on about FIFA, but as someone who has invested plenty of money in FIFA in the past and played it for many, many years up until, this year, this is the last, I had a break for like 3 years from FIFA and then played it again this year. And again, it was just regret. I just have regret that I ever got back into playing it. So this will be 100% the last FIFA I ever play. It's just a poorly built game that looks the same every single year, that just takes the money of the consumer. It can't be argued it's not poorly built at all. Like the amount of glitches and errors and, you know, the fact that the UI doesn't work, the menus are awful. Like, how you can go into a game against somebody and the design is you're meant to see the other person's team and sometimes it doesn't even come up. It's crazy bad game. By the way, that is all just my opinion. So just want to make that very clear. TJR says, do you think any of our starters will be completely rested, not on the bench, amid shenanigans? Is that meant to be shenanigans for the Munich game? I don't know what that's meant to be. Do you think any of our starters will be completely rested? I doubt it, to be honest, mate. I highly doubt it. I think you'll see against Brighton our main team start. And then if we're winning, we might take some players off. But yeah, we just won't happen. Mickey says, Tom, I've been watching the end of match interactions between Arteta and Pep. And mark my word, Arteta will take over the mantle of Pep as the most tactically rounded manager in the game. And we're lucky to have him. Can I just say, I really liked, and this is coming from someone in the media, you know, I really liked Pep's response to the question regarding the question marks about how he acts, how he was kind of being kind of critical of Grealish on camera. And he just bit back with his question and said, like, yeah, I do it for my ego. I do it because I want to make the players feel terrible, sort of thing. I mean, let me find the exact quote. Because it was an excellent response. Because I get so frustrated with these types of criticisms. They are so boring and frustrating. Here we go. He says, I do it for the cameras, which is just the best start to an answer. Oh, for goodness sake. The blooming websites aren't working. Let me find... see, I get the blooming thing up and then it disappears off my screen. So I can't even see it. Okay, he says, I do it for the cameras, for my ego. I'm the famous person of the team. If it's on camera, oh, he's done it again. Oh, goodness me, I'm going to have to go to a different website instead because for some reason, every time I try and read this quote, it disappears. Let's try this website instead and see, and I'll give him a shout out if it works. Here we go. I do it for the cameras, for my ego, the City manager said. I'm the famous person of the team. If it's on camera, then I can sleep because I have incredible satisfaction. I always try to criticise the players there and let them know how bad they are. And when Erling Haaland scores three goals, the compliments have to be with me, not with them. That's why I use the cameras to do it. My advice next time is don't film us and it will not be a problem. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Love it. I love that from Pep. I think it's just it's so frustrating that these managers are scrutinized for these types of things. If I love the fact that a manager will go out to a player and be critical from the minute they finish the game, because you know why that's really good? It's because that's sometimes the best time to receive that feedback. If you getting feedback so immediately from your coach, after a game when, you know, all the hype around the game, the frustration of not winning is there. Pep straight on and straight to Grealish and saying, you could have done this, and this would have improved your game. Getting that immediate feedback is so important for footballers. And the fact that that he got criticised for it and was being scrutinised, and we all know who it was. We all know who the idiot is that continues to moan about Arteta's touchline, square box. You know, honestly, anything to get attention. Anything to get attention these days. But I loved Pep's response to this question. And I know people turned around and said that they didn't like when he said he was asked a question about, I think, journalism. And he was like, I wouldn't want to be a journalist. I'm a manager. My life's better than yours. Again, it's just, I mean, that's the most British dry humour you can come up with. And still he got scrutinised for it. Like, we're known for our sarcasm in this country. If you watch this show, you know I could be a sarcastic pain in the backside, right? We're known for our sarcasm. He comes to the Premier League. He's obviously very much intertwined with English culture now, having been there for so many years. He's sarcastic in a press conference and then gets scrutinised for it. Honest, it's just, I think I love Pep Guardiola. I think he's a fantastic coach. I've always thought that he's a brilliant, brilliant manager and probably the best manager I've ever seen in my lifetime. And the fact that his sarcasm isn't taken at face value and he's being asked questions like this and getting scrutinized for his answers, I'll never get it because, you know, it's like one rule for others and another rule for somebody else. And I really enjoyed Pep Guardiola's answer to that question. I thought it was great. Absolutely. And if I'd have asked the question and got that back, I would have absolutely laughed. But yeah, it's there you go. Anna Simmons says, I don't know, Tom, you seem like a straight shooter. I can be right. I can be a proper sarcastic. You know what? I nearly swore again. There's so many times I nearly swear on the show, but I have to remember it's an 8 a.m. show. It's not way too far away from the watershed. I suppose you could watch this back past the watershed, and depending where you are in the world, you could be watching this past the watershed, but it's a family show, so I try my best. Derek says, hi, mate. Timber to play with the under-23s. It'd be good to see. I mean, Arteta did mention this, actually, in his presser. He said that, you know, he's in the final. We're kind of trying to do this final stage of his recovery. Is it going to be with the under-23s? Is it going to take one under-23s game? Is it going to take two under-23s game? If it takes two, it rules him out of the next four games for Arsenal, at least. So, yeah, there you go. Amberly says, you're not in the BBC, Tom. I know, it's a family show, mate. You know, it's a family show. So I try not to swear. When Harry comes on, he completely ruins that for me. And that's fine. I'm not going to curtail people's personalities. You can swear all you like if you're a guest on the show. I just won't monetize it. Melvin says, it's time the manager rotates his players to try and put everyone at their best shape and form. It's good to prepare for the Champions League against Bayern and keep your best players on form and in as good a health as possible. Indeed. Indeed. Ben says, Tom, with Klopp and Pep stepping aside in the coming years, could Arteta be the one to be the next managerial monster of the Premier League? And if so, who would rival him? Obviously, I think you have to keep your eyes on Chelsea because of the money that they have. You have to keep your eyes on Manchester United always because I think the backroom decisions that they're making are very clever, quite shrewd. Liverpool are still going to be there. You know, they've got Rob Edwards. Is it not Rob Edwards? Sorry. Who's the guy that they brought in to be kind of their big transfer man? Someone in the chat box remind me of who it is. Is it Ash something? I want to say Ash something. Unless that's the Brighton one that went Newcastle and that might go to Manchester United. Someone will tell me who it is. I'm waiting for a comment to pop up. Michael Edwards. It was Edwards. Yeah. Who's the other one? That was at Brighton, went to Newcastle, might go to Manchester United. There's no one. But they're making some really smart decisions behind the scenes at Man United. Ashworth, yes, is going to Man United. That's the one I was thinking of. And both those clubs, Liverpool and Manchester United, are going to have some really good backroom staff high up in the club. But Arsenal are really well placed. You have to say that we're the most ready to take on the challenge of what comes after Klopp, what comes after Pep. You know, I think we're very well placed to compete in the coming seasons. I'd love for us to win it this season because I think it would prove a really big point regarding the fact that in Klopp's final year with all the emotion and all the motivation that they've got with Pep, you know, just being as in the absolute maximum of his career at the highest point, just having won the treble. If Arsenal can go in and win a title this season against those two teams, it would be one of the biggest achievements in Arsenal's history. Make no bones about it. There's an argument that it's the toughest league that they would have ever won. I mean, that's 89, I guess, Liverpool in their, you know, in their pomp then as well, and having to win it at Anfield, I guess you could look at as probably the toughest league title they won. But again, this is with two teams, two huge mammoths of sides. If Arsenal win the league this season, is there any other league title that Arsenal have won that was a bigger challenge? The 2004 Invincible season is a unique achievement for what it was because we didn't lose a game. And you had Chelsea, of course, and Manchester United as well. But if we were to win the league this season, would it have been the most difficult league challenge that we were successful in? Would be the question I'd ask you. So maybe if you're watching on catch up or you're listening on audio platforms, you can hop into our comment section after and let me know. If you feel like the 89 season was a tougher challenge because Liverpool then were maybe the best Liverpool have ever been, having won so many of what they'd won leading up to that season. Do you think the Invincible season was against Manchester United and the start of Chelsea's rise really as a club in the Premier League? Was that the toughest league season ever? Or is it this season? With Man City in the state they are having just won the treble and Liverpool in Klopp's final season having already won a Premier League title and a Champions League title in recent seasons with all the motivation that they've got, in a Premier League that includes perhaps the toughest set of teams to go across 38 games. I think there's a real strong argument that it would be, a really strong argument. But I think the biggest challenge to that is probably 89. And that's coming from somebody that wasn't alive in 89, but I tried to learn my history as best I can. So you let me know in the comment section, not necessarily the chat box, because your comments will disappear, but obviously in the comment section down below, I'd be really curious as to know if this is the question. If Arsenal win the league this season, would it have been the toughest accomplishment of a title that Arsenal have ever won in their history? So let me know. Nelson says 98 for me, also because it was the first league title that Nelson witnessed as well. I guess that's more individual, isn't it, than contextual. Cass says, if we win the league this season, then it will be surpassing the invincible season due to the two managers Arsenal were also up against. Z says, not for me yet, but it's fantastically close in terms of a season. Plus, we didn't win anything yet. I mean, no, it's... I know that. I know we've not won anything yet. It's a hypothetical question, Z. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's a big if. It's an if Arsenal were to win it. I hope that's clear. Right. Thank you so much for tuning in, as always. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning for a Raw Reaction breakdown of tonight's game against Luton Town. I look forward to going. I'm looking forward to being up there. If you're going to be at the game and you're near the press box, always feel free to say hello. It's always an absolute pleasure to speak and see so many of you at games. And it's nice that people stop me and say hello and say they like the pod. It's always very humbling. And thank you for that. So do drop a like on the video if you're new. Not if you're new. Just subscribe if you're new, certainly. But drop a like. It really would help us out. And if you're not going to the game and you can't watch the game, but you want to keep up to date with the game, of course, I'll be running the football.london live text blog of the match to keep you updated on everything that's going on inside the stadium. So, of course, you can follow that courtesy of myself and football.london at the ground. That is why I will be there. So I look forward to it. Thank you so much, all of you, for tuning in. Stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mate's already got booked for a double dip in, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.